Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good afternoon. It is great to be with you. Hello to all of you online. You are loved. It's wonderful you're joining with us. Thank you so much for doing that. Wherever you are in the world, it's actually wonderful that there's folks from different parts of the globe that believe it or not, tune into what's happening right here, right now. So you're so, so welcome with us online. And the rest of you, obviously, hugely welcome. The marathon announcement went better in this service than last service. So thank you very much for that. It was like a omen or something. I don't know. It was difficult. And I tried to rescue it by even saying, if you don't come next Sunday, you have to run the marathon next year. It didn't go well at all. So thank you for being enthusiastic and laughing and taking it seriously all at the same time. So once upon a time in the history of our church, we got kicked out of our school. We used to meet in a school. And we were going to go into the Hilton Hotel in the city center. It was the only place that would take us for Easter. And I kept getting person after person coming up to me saying, Andy, like, parking's tight, like, it's tough. Parking's hard. And so I had to say to everybody, like, we're called to charge the gates of hell. We're going to have to park. I got to figure out parking. You can park, right? So next Sunday, like, we're called to charge the gates of hell. We can get around a marathon. We can do it. Are you with me? All right. Amazing. Well, we are in the middle of a sermon series called Bearing Fruit in All Seasons. And it's in a response to a prophetic word about it from our community, someone in our community. They called our attention to Ezekiel chapter 47, which is about God's presence returning to the temple in the holy city, but not staying there, flowing out from there like a river, transforming, renewing, and healing everything that it touches and causing life to come and filling the whole earth is a 20-second summary of Ezekiel chapter 47. We zeroed in on verse 12 of Ezekiel 47, and it has this beautiful picture of trees bearing fruit, watered by the presence flowing from the temple, and they bear fruit in every season. And the sense of the word for us as a community is we can and will become like these trees that bear fruit in every season because we are nourished by the presence of Jesus, and we'll get to bear fruit that lasts, that makes a difference in the world, in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces, for Christ's sake. And Alan laid a really strong foundation for the series 2 weeks ago. Then last week, I did my best to focus us in on, like, seasons in the scriptures. What does the Bible have to say about seasons? And I also introduced this new paradigm that we're using based on the biblical vision of spring, summer, autumn, and winter. But we also said you could also talk about it like preparation, execution, reflection, and rest. You know, what happens in springtime? Springtime is like preparation, right? Summer, if you're in a season of summer, it's like execution, like outwardly, it looks like you're just getting stuff done. You are executing, and everybody can see it. It's a very busy, busy, fruitful time. Then there's autumn, which there's reflection that happens in autumn, and I begin to withdraw from a busy, busy summer season. And then, of course, winter, or you could say rest, where rhythms look a bit different, and we begin to heal from the exertions of the different seasons. And the fruit that the Lord has for us in springtime will look different than autumn. The fruit that happens in winter will look very different to the fruit that we receive and bear in summertime. And we're just asked questions like, what might it look like if I reject the false paradigm of intense activity and then burnout, right, that the world tends to do, and embrace the biblical pattern of seasons that each have different kinds of fruit and add up to a life that bears much fruit, rooted and grounded in God's presence. And if we're going to bear fruit in every season, knowing what season we're in is really important. And knowing what kind of fruit comes in the different seasons is really important. Because we might, if we're not looking for it, we might miss it. And knowing, like, when we're transitioning from one season to the next, or when there's a new season on the horizon, that's also really important so we don't miss a thing or get stuck. And that's what we want to focus on. And if you missed those, those two talks, they really do, I say this every time, but I really do mean it this time, they really do build on each other. And if you're like, I'm not quite catching up on this, then just go back and listen to the first two and it will make total sense to you. So we're going to be focusing in on this for the rest of the series. Today we're going to talk about autumn and winter and some things about autumn and winter. And then next week we will do spring and summer. But before I jump into autumn and winter, there's always just some things that need to get done, right? I think I probably just need to say that and acknowledge that. We all have things that we just can't stop doing, right? Just because we feel like we might be entering a season of rest or a season of reflection. Like lots of you have jobs where you produce things, like reports and projects, and you actually produce real things, right? And or you care for and you lead people, you know, or when you show up to your shift, like you are on duty and you have to produce, right? And you can't just walk into your boss's office and say, hey, my pastor told me I'm probably in a period of winter rest, so, you know, could I work from home or something like that? Like, it probably doesn't work that way for you, right? Or some of you have, like, young kids and you can't give them back because you feel Jesus leading you into a season of reflection or something, right? Some of you have teenagers that you're trying to launch into adulthood, and you have parents at the very same time who they're just needing more care and support as they grow older, and you just can't go on sabbatical right now. Even if you feel like, actually, I'm being led into this season of winter. So I just want to acknowledge that, right? But we can still use the paradigm, and we can connect powerfully with Jesus. So don't just dismiss it, okay, no matter your situation in life. And of course, there are habits and practices that we need in every season that always bear fruit. Things like the scriptures, things like time in prayer, things like practicing Sabbath rest weekly and monthly and annually. Things like community, including worshiping together with your church family. Things like serving. Like, we don't ever take a break from serving people. You don't have to serve anybody today, you know, kind of thing. So we don't take a break from those things. They're rhythms we practice in every season. Now, in some points, we have less intensity with them than others. But they're kind of always, they're every season rhythms that bear fruit in every season for us. But then each season has different practices that are we might want to pick up to help us get the specific fruit from those seasons. So we want to be talking about those, and I'll do that in just a second. But it's really critical to understand something about seasons and moving from one season to the next. And that's this, is that Jesus leads us from season to season by his Spirit. It's Jesus that leads us from season to season by his Spirit. And it's out of his love and care for you, and not because he wants to punish you, but to draw near to you, to change you, to help you bear the fruit of the season, and to be a kind of person that bears fruit in every season. He wants to change you. He wants to heal you. He wants to make you immensely fruitful and joyful in his kingdom through the different seasons of life. And you might be sitting here, like a couple of you said to me last week, you're like, I don't like it. I think you weren't talking about the sermon. You were talking about the season that you happen to be in, right? And it's like, I don't like it. And I've certainly been in seasons that I didn't like. I guess my question for you, though, is, well, what if it's Jesus that's leading you in this season? If you remember, we did a sermon series through the Gospel of Mark. How could you forget? It was epic. It was really long. It was amazing. And in Mark chapter 1, verses 11 to 13, we saw this. We saw Jesus at his baptism. So heaven is torn open. John the baptizer baptizes his cousin Jesus in the Jordan. And God speaks from heaven. The dove ascends on him. It's epic. And God speaks over his son. You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And it's just boom, amazing, dramatic, wonderful, fruitful thing. And then it says, at once, like immediately, the very next thing that happens is the Spirit sent him into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Jesus had seasons. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And if we love, say we love and follow Jesus, then we need to follow our friend, brother, and Lord through the seasons and allow Him who went through seasons before us to lead us through seasons, even the seasons we may not be wild about, even if the season we're in or entering into feels almost like wilderness. But as with Jesus, there is immense fruit in the wilderness and in every single season. So rather than asking, do I like this or not? Maybe the question in light of the example of Jesus is, will I submit to Jesus or not? And be led by Him, led by His Spirit. And would you take Mark chapter 1 and make it one of the scriptures as we go through this sermon series that you ponder? And if you're having trouble with the season that you're in, would you just internalize the scripture and just journey with it and chew on it inside you? Meditate on it as you just consider where you are, and maybe it is the Spirit of God that has you where you are and has some fruit for you. And instead of it just being a season of I don't like it and it's terrible and this and that, maybe it's time to look for the treasures in the darkness and the hidden fruit that the Spirit wants to take you to. All right, let's talk about autumn, or may I say reflection. Seasons like summer are about, you know, external production, getting after it, and obvious fruit that everybody can see, really busy times and things like that. Autumn or reflection is a bit different, but it's no less fruitful and powerful. It's just the fruit can feel a bit more hidden at times. But it's a key season for long-term spiritual, emotional, and physical health. And it sets you up for healing rest, which comes in winter, for hearing the Lord's voice, and for discernment about the future. To sum it up, the prime fruit of autumn is wisdom. Wisdom for now and wisdom for your future. Autumn done well sows seeds for and protects future fruit. It ensures we gain and learn to operate in wisdom and don't just have like knee-jerk reactions and make changes or decisions out of tiredness or anger or just at the end of a very busy season, bad time to make changes and make decisions. And if there was a scriptural icon or image or something to like to ponder in our hearts about autumn, it might be Luke chapter 2, verse 19, where it's Mary, the mother of Jesus, a very famous passage. But Mary treasured up all these things said about her and said about the infant Jesus and who he would be and what God was about to do and all this stuff. Mary treasured up all these promises and visitations of angels and all these things and pondered them, reflected on them deeply in her heart. So again, if you're in autumn, this is a scripture for you. Mary's like this icon in scripture to think about, to reflect on, and as a gateway into autumn. Autumn is a season that lots of people don't do or don't bother with. Why? Well, my first reason is because we're scared of it. We can be scared of it. See, in autumn, we probably have to face some things in reflection. Face some things about ourselves. How things went. It's like the zone of evaluation and feedback. And that's a vulnerable place, right? It's a time of submission to the Lord to hear what He has to say. And again, it's this rich and powerful season, but it's a vulnerable season. And you know how much we all love being vulnerable, right? Another reason why lots of people don't do it is like we get identity from the things we do instead of our life in Christ. And reflection threatens that sometimes, or feels threatening to that. You know, because if we enter into a period of reflection, like what would happen if the Lord was leading me to lay something down that I'm getting my identity from? What would happen if upon reflection the Lord asked me to start something up? To lay something down, but to start something up, or to be really, really engaged in an area that I'm like, oh gosh, I'm really terrified of that. What might happen? What if He asked me to change something? What if He asks me to keep going with something I thought I was done with? It really can strike at our identity and the sense of, am I open-handed before the Lord, or am I grasping on to things? Another reason why autumn is hard is busyness is addictive. It's actually like a drug. It can make us feel important and productive even when it's not. And it's just like we live in this zone of busyness and we kind of can't quit it, right? In the last season of my life, I'm a regional leader in the Vineyard, which just means I help look after family groups of churches, and I help do that. And there was a church having a lot of difficulty and fairly intense needed a lot of help, and I was part of the team that was trying to help. And it was really, really intense for a couple of months, and I'm talking like a crisis a day. Like, there was not a day that didn't go by where I didn't have multiple phone calls, and just like crisis a day or more kind of thing. Very intense. Probably the most intense, well, one of the most intense periods of my life. And one day came along, after just months of this, one day came along and nothing happened. Like, my phone didn't ring. I didn't get an email. There was nothing happened, and there was nothing to do. And I noticed something. I noticed something in my heart. I began to wonder, like, I wish my phone would ring. Am I important if my phone doesn't ring? Am I productive if the world doesn't see me as full on helping out with this thing? And it felt like I was in withdrawal from like a drug. Busyness is addictive. And lots of people don't do autumn because we're addicted to the next hit. And your smartphone and my smartphone is discipling us in exactly the same way, right? So there's a lot of stuff that busyness and the digital age we live in and all that stuff just comes together and creates this powerful drug. And it makes us not want to do it, not want to do autumn. Another reason why autumn's hard is reflection is just plain hard work sometimes, and we want to skip just to rest. But if we do that, we also skip wisdom. Bad plan. All right. How do I know that I'm being led into an autumn season, a season of reflection? Well, there's some obvious moments, right? Like, the project is done. Time to reflect and move on to a different season. Or the job is ending, or maybe your work has like really natural rhythms or seasons to it. Like, if you're a teacher or you work in a school, there's just some really natural seasons there. Some of you work in things like finance and stuff like that, and you have like the tax year, really, really busy time. Other times of the year, less busy, you know, so it kind of works that way. It's just obvious moments. Other things are stage of life moments. Maybe you're about to send a child off to university, and it's like, whoa, it's like an obvious reflection time there. Or maybe you have slightly younger children, they're about to head to big school, right? And that's just a big change and a big reflection time. Or, again, back the years up even more, maybe it's like that time when your child goes to P1, right? And you have all of a sudden have this chunk of time available to you that you didn't before, right? And it's like, wow, natural time. Maybe you're just in the season of life where a loved one is coming to the end of their life. And that's just a natural season, an invitation into reflection. Maybe it's something like retirement is about to come for you. And again, it's a natural stage of life moment. Another signal that maybe you're entering into an autumn season is a loss of fire, a loss of passion for something. And sometimes lots of times we can interpret that as, I just need to change things. I need to leave something. I need to leave my job and change my job. Or I need to change churches or leave churches. Or I need to leave faith or leave the marriage because the passion or the fire isn't there. And that's one way, usually a bad way, to deal with it. And we can try that. Or we can see those emotions and recognitions within ourselves as a need to, and an invitation from Jesus into autumn and reflection. Like, what do I need to process? Lord, what are you saying to me? What does this mean? And when we do autumn well, we don't make knee-jerk reactions. We have careful discernment. Because we don't just want to do constant change all the time as an antidote to how we feel. Because constant change all the time gives a false positive and masquerades as fruitfulness, because we love to feel urgent and busy all the time and feel like we're bearing all this external fruit. So when we come bumping into a time to slow down and head into autumn, we're like, nope, I'm going to change something so that it looks like I'm busy and busy and busy. And it just masquerades as fruitfulness, and it really isn't. Because we're trying to actually avoid reflection, or trying to avoid rest. Because, you know, staying in summer and all that stuff feels like what we should do, you know, 24/7 external fruit all the time. Another signal that we're entering into autumn might be an abrupt, unexpected thing just happens to you. Usually those kinds of things are difficult and challenging, but they lead us to process what the Lord is doing, what he might be saying to us and what's happening in our lives and where he wants to meet us. Anybody remember the sermon series we did in January, February called Preparing for 2024? Anybody? Yeah, good. Yeah, first service, nobody said anything, and I was like, I know you were there. I watched you, you know, kind of thing. So anyway, we said in that sermon series that in 2024, there's going to be some good things that happen to you. There's going to be some hard things that happen to you, and there's going to be some unexpected things that happen to you, okay? And that's certainly been true for my family, for Harmony and I. 2024 has not at all been what we expected it to be, and that has forced us into reflection, okay? And that's hard. But that's also okay. So those are some signals as to how you might know you're being led into a season of reflection or autumn. So what do we do? What do we do in autumn? Well, we do our normal rhythms of life with Jesus and then some extra things, okay? And some of the extra things are extra space. We create extra space, right? Extra space to think and perhaps write and journal about what's going on in our lives, okay? Very fruitful practices. Extra time with the Lord in prayer, in stillness and silence. That's really, really important to build in extra times there. If you want to know what the Lord is speaking to you about and helping you reflect on, it would be really good to listen to him, okay? So, and it might be the project just happened, the event in life you just went through, and you begin to ask, Lord, what am I going to need in the future? Lord, what God, what might you be saying to me because of that? And you're spending extra time. And you might do one of the quiet days that the team here in BCV run every once in a while. They're so helpful. They're like that kind of space to create extra space. And you might be married with young kids, and you're like, that's impossible for us. Like, have you seen our lives? You know, all that stuff. And I would just say, like, spouses help each other out. Like, you know, give each other a half a day to go away and spend with the Lord, or help each other create extra space. Or maybe you don't have children, or you're single, but your life is, you just feel like your life is mental and all this stuff, and I don't know how to create extra space. I guess I would just say what I say to myself sometimes is like, well, figure it out. Like, just do it. Like, make extra space. Take some hard decisions and make some extra space. Say no to something else to say yes to extra space. So not just extra space, but you are going to need some extra questions. Like, what have I learned? What is God showing me? What would I do different? What needs to change in my life? What does healing and rest look like in the next season for me? This is where autumn protects future fruit. It seeks wisdom from God as we reflect, and we learn about what to do the next time. And we learn how we need to rest and recover and be restored in this season. And if we skip reflection, we lose the fruit of wisdom that comes in autumn. And we repeat mistakes, or we never truly heal, or we get taken out for much longer than is really necessary. So we need extra questions, and we also need extra voices. It's a season to invite other voices into our lives. That might look like a season of counseling for you. Wonderful. That might look like a season of spiritual direction. You know, somebody to accompany you in your life with God. That's what a spiritual director is and does, right? And that's wonderful too. It's a season of community. That actually, we feel like we might want to withdraw from community and wind down, but actually it's a season to step into friendships and community, people around you to love for you, pray for you, prophesy over you, and all that stuff. So it's a time for extra voices. And I just want to say something about that to you. I just want to kind of speak as a father. If you have friends, Christian friendships, but you never get beyond the day-to-day life conversations, you never get beyond that, like the weather, the football, the, you know, how are our kids doing and all that stuff, important conversations, they are. But if you never go beyond that to being really vulnerable with each other about how you're experiencing Jesus, what he's saying to you, your encounters with Jesus and life with Jesus, then I just think it's a season to do that. Like, it's a season to really go for that. It's time to be vulnerable together. It's time for conversations about what God is teaching you. It's time for conversations about what God is showing you or where it's hard in your life with Jesus and you need help. And I just want to lovingly say it's time to push through the natural awkwardness that's there. It's time to be vulnerable and to take your Christian friendships to a deeper level, to minister to each other and to, and say it a different way, to mediate the Lord's grace to each other. You need extra voices in autumn. You need friends who love Jesus. You need to cultivate those friendships that go deep in every season. And I just, my sense is you are probably going to need to take the risk first and be the friend that you wish you had, and to initiate the conversation about Jesus that you wish someone would initiate with you. I love what we just did celebrating the Lord's Supper. One of the reasons why I love it is we're all in together and it's like a holy mess, right? And you just get to see the relational networks and people who love each other and like the lifelong friendships that have been birthed and are being birthed currently in this community. People who've journeyed with each other and stuff like that. You need each other. You need friendships. And if they're not in your life right now, it's time to seek them out. It's time to pray for them. At the times when I felt like I didn't have friends, the best way to get some is I got on my knees and I prayed and then I took risks and I just received whoever God sent. And I went for it. And let's do that. And if you're feeling lonely, like I don't have access to those kinds of relationships, then in a minute we'll be praying for people. We'd love to pray for you that God does that for you in this season, but they're really important. So let's push through there. Those are some of the things we do in autumn. How do we leave autumn? How do we leave autumn? Well, you need to leave each season to get the fruit from the next season and to protect future fruit, okay? And like if you get stuck in autumn, you end up spinning around in your head, right? Like reflecting endlessly, and it's just like this doom loop or something like that in your head, and you get stuck in all the things. I got that wrong. I don't feel good about that. And then you just get spinning around, instead of living in grace, celebrating what you got right, and gaining wisdom from what could be different. And then taking that into the next thing. You get kind of stuck in a gray zone. You're not in summer, you know, going crazy and producing, but you're also not in winter and resting. And the recipe there is getting stuck in autumn is like a slow motion burnout. Because you're not in either place, right? And the biggest way to get out of autumn is to really pay attention to how you feel. And the only thing I can say is it kind of feels like when God's taking you out of autumn, here's what it feels like. It feels like that feeling of, you know what, I got enough to work on. Like I've learned some things. I can't take in anymore. Like I'm full. I'm just going to take that into my next season. So pay attention to when you're feeling like that. That's a signal it's time to move towards winter and to healing rest. You can only process so many things. You can only process so much stuff. So take some and then begin to move into winter. What happens if I don't do reflection? Well, you miss the voice of God. You miss moments that lead to healing. You miss out on wisdom for the future and you jeopardize future fruit. You don't learn what you need to learn. And you just have to keep going to the school of hard knocks. You might just settle for time off, but never enter healing rest. All right, let's talk about winter and rest. Does that sound good? Good, okay. This one might get a little crazy. It did last service, so hopefully we can navigate that well. The fruit of winter is healing. It's a time of being recreated, refreshed, envisioned, reconnected with God. I spent some time this week looking up what happens to trees in winter. I don't have time to go into it, and I'm not like a tree expert, but let's just say a lot happens internally in trees in winter. It's crazy. Like, Google it. Learn all those wonderful, amazing things, but it's internal, deep work. A tree that even looks like it's dead, like amazing internal work happens as it rests. Okay? So really interesting. But anyway, for me, winter is one of the trickier seasons we journey through for a couple of reasons. The first reason is all rest isn't equal. Some rest can be detrimental because it's actually just avoidance. It's like a bit counterintuitive, right? Like if you've ever had an injury or like recovering from a surgery, it's painful and stuff like that. And like what we would think is right is to lie in bed and take some pain meds and like recover that way. But then you've had the physio or the surgeon who's like, nope, you have to get up and move around. Like that's how you're going to heal. Like exercise it, move it, you know? And you're like, no, I want, it hurts. But they're like, nope, it's good kind of pain. Move through it. You have to move that knee or that ankle or that whatever, right? And they want us to be in motion. And I think winter is kind of like that. Lots of times when we're dying for a rest or we're moving into a winter season, we crash and we withdraw and disengage, and we think we need to do absolutely nothing. And that's your classic, I'm going to melt into a Netflix series, I'm going to, you know, watch it till my eyes bleed and stuff like that, and then wonder why I feel terrible on the inside. I don't actually feel like I've even rested. Because we never get to healing and we never get to restoring, right? And when we do that, it sets us up for the good versus hard paradigm, or the all go or crash stop paradigm that burns us out rather than the biblical pattern. But the next reason that it's tricky means I need to channel my inner charismaniac. Is that okay? The first service, they didn't say anything. They were really hard work. But when I said that, they were like, yes. They shouted at me, yes. You guys aren't sure. I don't let him out very often, but I'm going to have to. Let's just go with it. See, most places in the Western world right now are feeling a lot of friction. Things seem to be breaking down. The fabric of society seems to be breaking down everywhere, right? And there's a crisis of meaning in the Western world right now. And we have these crazy technological advances, but we're realizing they don't solve anything to do with meaning or how we actually feel. And they promised us loads of answers for everything, and they've delivered very few answers, actually. So that's happening. We have the strange post-pandemic effects that is happening everywhere around the world that we don't quite even understand right now. Plus, we have the effects of smartphones, the digital age, social media, all that stuff. That's all happening. And all of that kind of adds up around the world, the Western world, but the whole world as well. All that adds up to, like, emotional exhaustion. Okay? And you're like, I thought you were channeling your inner charismaniac. That's like your inner wannabe academic or something like that. But just keep going. So that's kind of happening in the world right now, whether we realize it or not. But here in Belfast, this part of our island, Northern Ireland, we also, on top of all of that, live with a legacy of what has happened here within living memory and its ongoing effects. Now, what I'm talking about is like the Troubles. Okay? I was watching this political program called The View with Mark Carruthers. Always very interesting. And this was a little less than a year ago. And I can't even remember what crisis we were in. They all bleed together, don't they, here? Anyway, he had this panel of smart people, and he's talking about whatever crisis it happened to be, and they all said interesting, wonderful things, but he had a woman on that panel. She was called Dr. Joanne Murphy, and she's from Northern Ireland, but she's a professor of leadership in Birmingham University. And she had this thing, like, it was amazing. She has this quote here: we have to remember we're not living in a normal society. We're not living in a post-conflict society, as many say it. We are living in a post-violent society and are living with conflict. And then she had a whole bunch of things to say about leadership off the back of that that I'll share with you someday, but not today. And my point for bringing all this up, and I'll get to the charismaniac in a second, there's just some, on top of what's happening in the world right now to everybody that's causing emotional exhaustion, there are some very real things that we live with without thinking about it because of what's happened here. And there are just so many conscious and mostly unconscious ways we negotiate life here. And it is very, very complicated. Okay? When I first moved here 23 years ago, I was an intern at this church. One of my jobs was to pick up the collection and then take it and count it, make sure it was all squared away, everything's all up and up, and then lodge it at the bank. Okay? And I very quickly realized that this was an interesting job because I was like, it seems like when it comes to notes, now not coins, but notes, every bank just prints their own money. And I was like, really? And they're like, yes, why is that strange? And I was like, and some of them are plastic, but some of them aren't. Yes. Okay. So a First Trust 20-pound note is pound sterling, right? Yes. A Bank of Ireland 20-pound note is pound sterling. Yes. But Scotland, it's Bank of Scotland, and it's different. Well, it's worth the same, but it looks different. Okay. Bank of England 20-pound note. Is it 20 pounds sterling? Yes. Okay. Can I take a First Trust bank note to England and spend it there? No. Why not? Well, you should be able to, but they won't take it. Why not? We don't know. Okay. Gotcha. All right. Then I found out there's rules, mostly unwritten, that everybody knows about what to say or what not to say or who to say it to or not to say it to. I found out that there's very different viewpoints. I found out that the two most popular football teams to support are in Scotland, not here. And I could wear their tops some places, but not others. And you just kind of had to know. I found out that this is how it is here, except when it's not. I found out there's very contested narratives. And I also found out that there are bad memories of fear, real trauma, and serious, serious violence. And I found out that it just is meandering through this place and at times has washed people away. And even as I'm talking about it, some of you are having like an emotional reaction. And for decades, it's just been this additional draw on emotional energy and capacity. And it's built up ahead of steam. And here we go with the charismaniac. Apostle Paul's letters. If you remember during the lockdown, we preached through Ephesians. I remember speaking to a camera. It must have been during that. And in Ephesians and other places in Paul's letters, he talks about the powers and principalities over cities and geographical areas and how we're up against them, that they're energized and empowered by the darkness of the enemy. And they're like real things that we have to contend with. Have you ever wondered about Belfast or Northern Ireland, what those might be? What's the most common thing you hear when you ask people how they are in Belfast? That's fairly optimistic. Most of the time, what I hear is, I'm knackered. I'm tired and I don't know why. I'm convinced that if there were a spirit over Belfast, it's weariness. Like a power and a principality energized by the enemy because of what he has done here. It's just one of the byproducts of what's happened. And I'm convinced that that exhaustion and weariness has crept into life and creeps into life. And it gets empowered by the darkness that this place has seen. It becomes a narrative. Comes a narrative that we can and do embrace and begin to live by. Like we're being lied to. And it can even be like passed down because of what's happened here, passed down now a few generations. And now we can't blame everything on that, right? Can't blame everything on the troubles. And if you're just a little bit tired today, maybe it's not. But we're also foolish if we don't think that it doesn't have any lasting effects here, especially spiritually. So why am I sharing that about the section in Winter, right? Well, we need to probably need to process it all on a ton of different levels, but for today, I think it makes Winter really, really tricky. Here's why. Because the powers and principalities in this place lie to us, and they make us think we should always be in Winter. They make us think that the antidote is a break or to go off or to go on holiday as a solution to every problem. They make us constantly in the back of our mind or the top of our hearts constantly fear burnout so that we don't go for things and do things and step out and press and push. And they lie to us and they make us think the good life is the resting life. And they make us prioritize it in unhealthy ways and even idolize it. Instead of doing that crash, rest, burnout thing, instead of building biblical patterns of work and rest and fruit bearing that resist and come against the powers of the age and the principalities over the city, but come against it with healthy biblical rhythms that Jesus himself had, to help him stay forever in the care and love of the Father and to bear immense fruit in every season. Walter Brueggemann is an Old Testament theologian, and he wrote a book called Sabbath as Resistance. And the whole thesis of it is practice Sabbath rest as a protest to the powers and the principalities. And I think we need to have healthy rhythms of in season, out of season, fruit in every season, to come against and resist the powers and the principalities in this place. And if you feel like you've been impacted by the troubles, if you feel like, whoa, something just came right up as soon as I started talking about it, let's pray for you. If you feel like you've been stuck in cycles of weariness, you don't even know why, let us pray for you. And then maybe think about, what are the seasons I'm in and how can I move from season to season, bear fruit in every season and be released from something like this. So, let's talk about winter. How do you enter winter? Well, have a plan for it. Have a plan to enter healing, biblical rest. That's why reflection and autumn are so important. You're asking questions like, what do I need? Well, you might need a holiday. And those are great. Take them. You might need to take a break from something. That would be great. Do that. Don't be afraid to do that. You probably do need physical rest and sleep and attending to our bodies and making sure they're healthy and we're eating right and all that stuff. That's great. But you also need to plan for time for more of Jesus' presence in the scriptures and in prayer and in community and rebuilding rhythms for strength. And if we have no plan, we're going to miss healing biblical rest. Remember, true rest is saying no to things so you can have time to say yes to the deep internal work with Jesus and physical rest and restoration. What do you do in rest? Well, the first thing you do in winter or rest is accept it. Accept it. Again, you know, we love doing this. Resist rest. We just go and we go and we go. We don't want to rest. We don't want to stop. We don't want to stop and then crash. Okay? And you know what I've discovered about the Lord? That he really does do enforced rest time. Psalm 23, which is another scriptural icon. If you're in winter, you might want to journey in your heart. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He will make you rest one way or another. My advice is to accept it rather than be made to do it. Another thing we do in winter is we embrace the deep healing rest of the gospel. Because Jesus died for you and rose again, you don't have to earn the love of God. You need to just receive it. You're loved because you are in Christ by faith, which means you're forgiven. You're loved. You're welcomed into his family. You're made right with God. You are made clean by him. You are loved for who you are, not for what you do. And you heal in winter by learning to embrace the deep love of God for you in Jesus Christ. You also learn in winter to sharpen your no, but from the point of view of calling for the future. In winter, it's good to say no to things for a season so that you have space to rest and to heal. And we need to be unafraid to do that. We need to be really good at doing that, and we need to actually have space to rest. But you also need to remember your calling, your assignment, and that rest is a season that sets you up for future fruit and activity. And the temptation from the principalities and the powers and the enemy is that winter is always, you always say no to everything all the time. And you get stuck in saying no to things, and no to fruit ends up becoming a pattern. And then over time, we end up becoming, we can't be people who give wholehearted yes to what God is asking us, because we've been a people that just say no over and over and over and over again. And lastly, what do we do in winter? We practice gratitude. Really important in seasons of rest and recovery and healing in winter. Because we easily grow toxic in winter. That's another reason why it's tricky. Because we feel like maybe we deserve something more, or gosh, what happened to me, or other people look like they're in summer and they're living their best life, or they're bearing tons of fruit. That's what it looks like anyway. And we ignore the fruit of winter time, and we just feel jealous or like we're losers or something like that. And gratitude is the antidote to that. By practicing gratitude, we learn to joyfully accept where God has us. We see the immense healing fruit that he has for us in wintertime. and it bursts joy in our hearts. Really important. How do you leave winter? Well, I think it's the hardest transition. Some of that is just natural because, you know, lying in bed feels great. And like it just takes more energy to launch, you know, from that. But then again, you know, we have these fears of overextending or burning out. And we really love, if you're doing winter right, you're loving rest, right? And you're being healed and that feels great. And so it just requires some pushing through and some momentum, and restarting takes energy. But a signal to you, that birthed there by the Lord, that it's time to move out, is this feeling of boredom. Like, I'm just kind of bored. I'm ready to go. Let's get going, right? It's almost like that feeling of the last day or two of your holiday. If you go on a longer holiday, like it's the last. Some of you are like, I never feel that way. But I sometimes do. It's like, it's time to get going. It's time to leave. I want to go home. It's time to get this party started. Do you know that feeling? Some of you do. Pay attention to that. It's time. That's a signal that it's time to leave winter. Okay? God also gives us a holy discontent as a signal it's time to leave winter. Like a new vision. Or you start to ask, like, what if? Or it's almost like inside yourself you can feel that. You know how spring, like you walk outside and you're like, it smells like spring. You notice that things are blooming and stuff like that. It's like, oh, it's like, you know, God starts stirring you up and you start to get like, I need to move on, get moving and stuff like that. And that can feel really disorientating at times. And people then respond to that and they're like, oh, I need to change a bunch of stuff. I need to change churches. I need to change. Well, actually, you might just need to enter spring. God's preparing you for something right here where you are, in your job where you are. And he's just preparing you. And it's time to move from winter to spring. What happens if I don't leave winter? Well, you don't have time for rest. And you're going to do damage to your soul, to your spirit, to your body. And that will mean less fruit now, and it puts future fruit at risk. It means we'll strive. You know, we'll try and make fruit come in the wrong season, which will lead to burnout, and it's a punishing way to live, and it ignores the biblical witness that points to seasons and the life and easy yoke of Jesus and his kingdom. We'll miss being formed by and experiencing the deep love of God for you, which is really, really important. That in winter, in rest, it's the place where you encounter the deep, deep, tangible love of God for you. You learn to live there, where your identity is safe and secure, and you become a person of depth and kindness and character who has mercy and compassion. We can fall into toxic anger. There's a guy called James Brian Smith. He's no relation to me, but he wrote a book called The Good and Beautiful Life. And it's spiritual disciplines for how to live the life of God, right? It's a great book. And one of the things that I read in that book many years ago is he said that if you're finding yourself angry, you need to practice Sabbath as a way out, or rest, okay? And I really wrestled with that. I thought that sounds counterintuitive. Like, if you're having something with anger, you should lean into joy or something like that. But actually, I was like, okay, I'm really wrestling with anger, and it's destabilizing me, it's hurting my family, and it's not great for our church either. So I'm just going to try this out, because nothing I'm trying is working. So that's when Harmony and I began our journey into Sabbath and rest in a serious way. And I found out he was right. It's true. The reason is that the anger or resentment boils under the surface, and it's triggered by undealt with things. And the silliest things can make this volcanic anger that's really about something else come out or dominate us and things like that, come out sideways. We've probably all been there. And especially when we have no rest. And in biblical rest, Jesus meets you. He loves you deeply. He heals you. He shapes your character. He helps you be secure and live in his love. Helps build your identity in him instead of the things you do. And he gives you deep roots of peace, joy, and the delight of not having to accomplish anything to earn his love. And surprise, surprise, that's a massive antidote to anger. And if you don't rest, you can become an angry person. And anger seeps out of you. And if that's happening, if cynicism is taking over your life, or resentment, it's a warning sign that you might need winter. You might need a rest. Lastly, I said last week with Jesus, it's always a season of grace. if we turn to him. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your season will change. He never changes. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And wherever you are right now, run to him and run to his grace. Why don't you stand? I just want to invite you into the deep love of Jesus. I think that's one of the things he wants to do today. Others of you are angry about what season you're in, and you don't want to say what season you're in. You won't tell anybody because you're angry about it. But it's a moment for you to actually to submit to Jesus and to let him lead you by his Spirit. We want to pray for anger issues in general, that you might find rest this season. We want to pray for issues about Belfast, as I raised, always being in fear, burnout, and never actually doing anything. I want to pray for you if you're addicted to busy. And believe the Lord is standing before you, inviting you into some things. But one of the things he's inviting you into is a fresh encounter with his love. So come, Holy Spirit, pour out the love of Jesus deeply, deeply, deeply. I pray that men and women here would experience it tangibly. Some for the first time. They've heard about you. They've heard about people feeling loved by you. I just pray you'd come deep, healing, refreshing. We just bless you to experience the love of the Father and the ministry and power of Jesus and the leading of the Spirit. And the depths of your souls, just receive, drink in his healing love. You don't have to earn anything. Nothing you have done or will do can separate you. And bless you to live in and drink in his healing love. So come, Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.